dawn of a new year. So, Father, I pray that they'll be saved for us as Christians, Father. Help us really to contemplate this thought. What does the new year mean to us? So, Father, we do love you. We thank you for what you've done for us in the past, even in our failures, Father, and the forgiveness that we have received by your marvelous grace. Father, we look forward to a triumphant new year in 2021. So, Father, bless now the reading and preaching of your word. May it find a place in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Think with me for just a moment what a new year means to each of us, should the Lord tarry his coming. Notice, first of all, in verse number 9, it means unlimited opportunities. It means unlimited opportunities that we have. There are going to be opportunities for change in the coming new year. Change is not necessarily a bad thing. Remember, different is not wrong. It's just what? Different. Exactly right. For those who are unsaved, there'll be opportunities for you to receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And that is a great change in a person's life that can take place if you're willing to open up your heart and receive this gift of salvation that we just have celebrated with the birth of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And we find that he came to die on the cross, and there he gave us forgiveness for our sin. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5 in verse number 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And then in Revelation 3:20, we find these words. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open my door, I will come to him and sup with him, and he with me." You see, the idea of Jesus standing at the door applies to the sinner, but it also applies to the saint at the same time. Jesus wants to come in, and he wants to dine with us. He wants to sup with us. He wants to have that intimate relationship with you and I. It's a sense of a deep, intimate relationship with him. Sadly, the Bible here says that Jesus stands on the outside. He stands on the outside of our heart, and he's knocking to get in. And I think about the churches of Asia Minor. If the church at Philadelphia was the church of the open door, as some Bible scholars say that it was, then the church at Laodicea must have been the church of the shut out Jesus. And we find that Jesus is standing outside, knocking and wanting to come in. He wants to reign supreme in your life. He wants you to surrender your life to him. He wants you to be saved. He wants to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords inside your life. The statement that Jesus expressed a great mystery. Think about it. Why does Jesus stand outside the door? Why does he knock? Why does he wait until someone opens that door, or in other words, receive him as their Savior? Doesn't he have the right to just break the door down and enter in some other way? And we have to say, yes, he has that right. But that is not what he does. He does not do that. He's sovereign. The omnipotent Jesus has condescended to work out his eternal plan by wooing the cooperation of the human heart. So Jesus just doesn't force his will on your life. He doesn't force you to be saved. He woos you. In John 6 and verse 44, the Bible says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." And so we understand this, that the Holy Spirit of God woos you and draws you to us, to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we see, if you're here this evening and have not opened up your heart's door to Jesus, you still have the opportunity just to do that. At the end of this service, we'll give you an opportunity to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we see, first of all, there'll be some changes there in the coming year. But then notice, secondly, there will be an opportunity for challenges as well. Every one of us, no matter how old we are, no matter how young we are, have set goals in life. Some we have reached and some we have not reached. And again, as we would think about making some life-altering choices, particularly at this time of year, we find out that that statistics tells us that most people by the end of January have already forgotten those life-changing decisions that they had already made. Some people are still out there trying to make decisions for Jesus Christ. Some are trying to make a decision to unite with Sharon Baptist Church. Some are making decisions on what God would have them to do. And I want to give you some spiritual goals for you to reach toward this coming year. Number one, we ought to read the scriptures on a regular basis. In my upcoming newsletter, I kind of reiterate these same points to you to help you understand the importance of reading the scriptures every day. We ought to be faithful to all the services of the church. You see, we grow spiritually when we're in the house of God to hear the word of God. Our faith is grown by the preaching and hearing of God's word. And then as well as we fellowship together with one another. You see, you're not born in a vacuum. And God intended for you and I to exhort one another, to pray for one another, to gather together, to worship together. Well, we ought to read the scriptures. We ought to be faithful to all the services of the church. But then notice another spiritual goal that we need to reach toward, and that's developing an effective witness to others for Christ. In other words, if you do not have a regular time when you go out and you witness and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, there ought to be a time set aside in your new year that you say that this is the hours that I'm going to set aside to try to reach people with the gospel. Now, I know because of the COVID, we haven't been having the Saturday soul winning like we normally have, but we're looking to pick that up again back in April. We're scheduling two door-hanging sessions, one in January, one in February, weather permitting. And then in March, we're going to schedule two. And then in April, we're going to go full bore, prayerfully, if the COVID has been knocked back, out sowing again. And if you don't know how to sow one, I encourage you to do that. You can see Pastor James. He would love to be able to give you some information about how you can become a more effective sow winner. There's even an online training course that we'll be more than happy to send you the booklet. And you can go online and you can follow the teaching of Pastor James and learning how to lead someone to Jesus Christ. You say, well, I know how to do that. Yes, I do too, but are you doing it? Amen. It's more than just knowing how to do it. We ought to be able to do it. So we need to develop as an effective witness to others for Jesus Christ. And then fourthly, we ought to resolve to faithfully tithe and give to the work of worldwide missions, continuing the Forward by Faith commitment that 27 family units had decided to do that. Not because the church needs the money, but because you need to give the money in order that God would bless you. Well, when you think about these, there'll be opportunities for change. There will be. There'll be opportunities, there'll be challenges, but then notice as well, there'll be opportunities that we have for our church. And we have an opportunity to make this a banner year in our church after a COVID year. When this thing opens back up again, my friend, we're going to have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to go share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity to expand our ministry and expand our outreach. And even with the church office and Pastoral Studies Edition, we have room to expand Sharon Baptist Day School and also to give us more Sunday School. Remember, it has always been my desire and goal to have 75 people brought in our buses. And listen, we have an opportunity during this coming new year to be able to do that. When we get moved in there, open up those Sunday school rooms, it's going to take the cooperation of the bus ministry, the Sunday school teachers, and the people that sit in the pews outside of those two other groups to be busy about bringing the children in. It's been sad since March that we haven't had our buses running and we can't have them running. I understand that. But it's sad not having the children here. As many problems as they cause, they bring double the blessings to our church. And so I would encourage you to get ready for that. I think about there's new ways and methods of connecting and ministering to other people that we have. I think about our social media outlet and our website and live streaming. We have the opportunity to reach more people with the gospel than ever before if we could just point people to those places. I think about as well As several months ago, I preached a message entitled Sharon Baptist Church 2.0. And we talked about when we reopen, we're going to do things a little bit different, a little bit better, more Christ-honoring, more Christ-pleasing than we have done in the past. Not that we always have done things wrong, but there's always room for improvement. And as we begin to get into January, we'll be scheduling leadership meetings to let you know how we're going to operate when we begin to open back up again, whether it be April, May, or June, whenever God allows that to happen. And so as I thought about that, we were supposed to open up in January with Sharon Baptist 2.0, but that is not going to take place. And so God really gave me this idea for a theme for 2021, and I'm going to give you that theme. The theme for Sharon Baptist Church in 2021 is this: SBC, or Sharon Baptist Church 2.1 for 2021. Sharon Baptist Church, SBC 2.1 for 2021. So make a little tweak on the 2.0, amen, because we have a little bit of delay, amen. And so we're excited about what God's going to do. But what are you going to do with the opportunities that God presents with us coming this year? What are you going to do? Are you going to do the same thing that you always have? Are you not going to do anything? Are you going to stretch your faith a little bit and ask God to, maybe God would allow you to help in the bus ministry, help in the children's church ministry? And we're recruiting for children's church and junior church and Sunday school teachers and teen workers and choir members. We're just looking to for God, when we open this thing back up, to have every one of us in some way or another busy serving the Lord. Well, this new year means that there will be unlimited opportunities, but then notice something else. Notice it also means that there will be obstacles. There'll be opportunities, but there will be obstacles. You know, we'll be faced with problems that we're going to have to solve. You know what? Just because we declare Sharon Baptist Church 2.1 for 2021 doesn't mean there won't be any problems. I wish it would be that way. I wish that we would serve the Lord with gladness of heart and He would just take care of everything for us. But the truth of the matter is, we'll be faced with problems that we are going to have to figure out and we're going to have to solve. And the question is this: will you choose to face our problems, or are you going to run from the problems? You know, too many people today, that's what they do. When a problem comes, they just put their head in the sand. They just turn their head and say, well, I'm not worrying about it. It doesn't really affect me. But we need to choose to face our problems instead of run from them. We will act in accordance with scriptures, or are we going to react in the flesh? And too many times, that's the problem with us as independent fundamental Baptists, is that we react in the flesh instead of turning to the Word of God and act in accordance with His Word. So there's problems that we're going to have to solve. And I'm going to let you know immediately, right now, there'll be problems in 2021 that we're going to have to face together. Me as a pastor and you as church members and as a body together, we're going to have to figure them out as we move along. Not only will there be problems to solve, but notice something else: we'll be faced with barriers to overcome. The first barrier that we'll have to overcome is the lack of our own faith and the lack of our own vision. That's the first barrier. It usually begins there, the lack of faith and lack of vision. You see, I see faith and vision as blood relatives. You can have faith without vision, but you can't have vision without faith. Let me repeat that. You can have faith without vision, but you can't have vision without faith. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing by the Word of God. But vision is a result of having faith in your life. You have great faith, guess what? You have great vision. You have little faith, guess what? You have little vision. Over a year ago, we came to you and with a vision of Forward by Faith, and with a pastoral studies edition and a church office complex, and you saw and understood it as to be a vision that we needed to accomplish for the cause and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you did step out by faith, and you did agree to build that. And I wish I could say that we had scheduled a January 10th building dedication day, but that is not going to happen. So we're not scheduling one until everything gets done. Then we'll get it scheduled and we'll have that. Thank you for your faithfulness and for the faith to be able to do that. But understand this, is that if we have great faith, we can have great vision. I have great faith and I have a great vision that we can have 75 people on those buses. I have faith and I have vision. And understand this, that because I have vision, I have faith that God can meet that need. You say, well, you're crazy. No, I'm not really crazy. I remember one time Nola had 52 on one bus, just her bus, her only, 52 on one bus, plus others as well. And I don't remember what the total number was that day, but I do know this, that that's two buses. 52, you know, is 25 and 25 and two extra, amen, and that's one more bus. So I'm thinking that we ought to be able to very easily, by the end of next year, have 75 regular children coming in, ministering to the families of our bus children. So I encourage you to do that. Turning your Bible to the book of Nehemiah. It's all the way back in the Old Testament. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. And let's look at Nehemiah chapter number 1. Nehemiah chapter number 1. You see, great faith, great vision. Little faith, little vision. I want to share with you faith and vision and action according to the life of Nehemiah and the life of the nation of Israel. Notice the faith part, first of all, in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, verse 2, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, and he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. And the walls of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. So we see that faith, as we begin to understand this area of faith, faith is often coupled with repentance. And I know my own personal life, the more that I keep a clean slate with God, the more faith I have and the more vision that God gets me. Look in verse number 4 down through verse number 18. We'll see this idea of faith and repentance being married together. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted. He was brokenhearted. He had come to the point, and we'll see in just a moment, that he understood that he and the nation of Israel needed to repent of their backslidden ways. And the Bible says in verse 5, and I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, thy great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thy eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of the servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants. And notice what he says, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. For we were we dwelt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though they were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet I will gather them from thence, and I will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now, these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by the great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king cupbearer. You see, Nehemiah, in verses 1 through 3, began to hear about how Jerusalem still laid in waste. And then as he heard that, the Bible says that the walls were broken down, the gates thereof were burned with fire. And it came to pass, the Bible says, that he wept and he mourned certain days and fasted and prayed to the God of heaven. And what was his prayer consisted of? It was not this: God, would you rebuild the walls? He started out with, God, would you forgive me? Forgive my house. Forgive my family. Forgive the nation of Israel. You promised in your word that if we would serve you and love you, you would take care of us. But if we didn't, you would scatter us. So we find here that Nehemiah steps out in this part of faith. We then notice the vision given in Nehemiah chapter 2. Look at verses 11 through verse number 18. The Bible said in verse 11 of Nehemiah chapter 2, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant and the Amorite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was a man come to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, and I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, to the king's pool, and there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the brook, and viewed the wall, and turned back, and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went, or what I did. Neither had I yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then I said unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the walls of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and also the king's words that were spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hand for this good work. We see this faith and vision and action. Nehemiah had the faith to do what God asked him to do. And then he had the vision in verses 11 through 18. And after he made his little survey trip at that night around the walls and the gates, he finally went to the people and shared his vision with them. You see, faith and vision are blood relatives. And we find another barrier to overcoming is the attitude of other people. You know, there's always someone around us to tell us that it can't be done. I can remember someone asking me for advice one time about doing something, and I said, you're crazy. There's no way you can do that. Man, you don't understand all the ins and outs of all this thing, and I'm glad today that they didn't listen to me because they pressed on, and they're being used for the glory of the Lord right now, amen, and they're a help to many Christian brothers and sisters, and God, he had more faith, even though he wasn't saved, than I had, and I was saved, amen. And so understand this, that there's always someone around to tell us that we can't do what we wanted. Look, we just read in verse number 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Amorite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, no memorial in Jerusalem. You see, there's always someone around who will tell you that you can't do what God has given you vision by faith to accomplish. You know, these guys in verse number 19 are the same guys that had a bad attitude in verse number 10 of our section. Understand this, there is no barrier too big for God to overcome. I believe at times that God wants to give you a nothing is impossible experience. All of us at certain times in our life can just look out and say, God has given me a nothing is impossible experience. Because when you looked at it, you said, there is no way that this is going to be accomplished. There's no way I can do that. There's no way that this can come to pass. But God gives you a nothing is impossible experience. That's what I call this experience for for Nehemiah and the nation of Israel as they rebuilt the walls and they rebuilt the gate. And God has done so mighty big things for us here at Sharon Baptist Church. And he's done so many great things that it's even hard for us to recall all that he has done for us. Don't you think that God can overcome any barrier and obstacle that you have in your life? Well, during this new year, there'll be problems to solve. There'll be barriers to overcome. And notice, lastly, we'll be faced with tragedies. You know, some of your loved ones and some of my loved ones are going to step off into eternity during 20 and 21. I don't know who they are, but God knows that. But understand this, that even in the tragedy of your loved one stepping off into eternity, we understand this, that God will be there for you. He'll minister to you. He'll meet your need. He'll provide for you. This world may be plunged into another crisis. We have COVID-19 right now. And I just thought about this, COVID-19 2.1 in Colorado, a new strand. In California, a new strand. And they say that the shots some people received are going to cover all that. But who really does know? I mean, it's really early to say. And I don't know what God's doing, why God's allowing this to happen. Our world could be turned completely upside down again. They said this new strand spreads far faster than the old strand. And so all I do know is this, is that I'm just glad that I have my faith and trust in God. Amen. There is a reason to be discouraged by the prospects of tragedy, barriers, and problems. There is a reason to be there, but remember this. But according to Romans 8 and verse number 37, Paul says this, "Nay, in all these things we shall be more than conquerors through him that loved us." So while the tragedies, the barriers, and the problems may affect you, understand this, that Paul says that we are more than conquerors through him, Christ Jesus, that loved us. I'm so glad that last year I didn't have to depend upon myself. I depended upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He carried our church through. He'll carry us through the new year as well. And this coming new year means that we'll have both opportunities and obstacles that we're going to have to face. But we'll not have to face them alone. We have a friend. The Bible says stick it closer than a brother. Perhaps he'll return in this coming new year. What a glorious thought. That's my prayer, that he'll come back, amen, very soon. I even pray he comes back in early part of January. But should he tarry his coming, what shall we say about 2021? Will our goals be realized? Well, we have made an impact on the world for the cause of Christ. The choice is up to you and I. For those that have not yet to accept Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, you will resist his grace and reject his love continually, day after day, month after month. God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, that all should come unto repentance. But if you continue to resist his offer of grace, you're really playing the fool. Trust him now. Trust him today. Whatever your need is this evening, I invite you to come to this old-fashioned altar and do business with the Lord. I wonder if you'll just make a commitment to commit 2021 to the Lord, understanding that there'll be opportunities to serve the Lord, but then those opportunities, obstacles will come. But in fighting those obstacles, we're not alone. The Lord Jesus Christ will be there with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, Lord, and we thank you for your goodness and love to us. Oh, Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts, Father. Help us to understand that as we would think, Father, about the new year, we'll have opportunities, we'll have obstacles. But no matter what comes, Father, you'll be there with us. So, Father, I pray that you would bless now. Speak to those that need to receive Christ. May they not put it off any longer. May they trust in him on this last night of the old year. And, Father, as they wake up in the new year, Father, not only will it be a new year, but there'll be a brand new Christian, a babe in Christ. Father, for your church, I pray, Lord, that you'll help them to understand that we need to be busy about the things that you have appointed for us to do. It takes faith and it takes vision. It takes people willing to understand that there's opportunities and there'll be obstacles, but there's nothing too hard for you to overcome, and you'll be a help to us. So bless now, Father, as only you can do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Let's stand to our feet, please, with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around this evening. Before we receive the Lord's Supper in just a few moments, I want to give you an opportunity to come to the altar and do business with God. Maybe you want to come and just begin to pray what God has for you in the new year. Maybe your faith has been lacking. Maybe this year kind of just has set you back a little bit. And God wants to renew a vision in your heart as you come to Him by faith. Would you come and do business with God? Maybe you want to come and just turn over your goals and your spiritual goals and your practical goals that you have set aside and ask God to help you keep those. Whatever the case is, would you come? If you're here and don't know Christ as your Savior, I wish you come. If you'd step out of the pew and come down to the front, we'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you need a word of prayer, just let me know. We're more than happy to pray with you. And while these are praying, I want to read to you